Church says Brady has an unwed child, is teaching us to have sex outside marriage, and is getting a pass because he wins Super Bowls. I'm Ken Duffy, Fox News Radio.
Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling is a live call-in radio program providing doctrinal dialogue, cultural commentary, and insightful interviews with some of today's foremost Christian authors and leaders. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Travelers Rest. The goal of the church and the radio program is to seek the glory of God in the salvation of sinners and the sanctification of the saints by the ministry of the Word. For more information, go to www.knowingthetruth.org. Here with today's edition of Knowing the Truth is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome into this edition of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. This is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and we're going to be talking today about the Ten Commandments. And more specifically, are the Ten Commandments binding upon Christians today? You know, I've had many conversations with Christians about the Ten Commandments over the years. Of course, in a pastoral role, speaking with people about how to apply the teachings of the Scripture, and then primarily in this case, we're talking about the teaching of the Old Testament Scripture, Exodus chapter 20, primarily there, with the listing of the Ten Commandments. And people ask, you know, Pastor, how do we look at the Ten Commandments? Are they still binding upon our life today? In fact, I've actually had people say over the years, I've had some people say that the entire Old Testament they don't feel is relevant anymore to what we do in our life, that now we're under grace and we're not under the law, and therefore, you know, these things are just not relevant to the Christian life today. Well, I think that when we look at what the Scripture says about itself, when we look at specifically what the biblical teaching is about the commandments themselves, we see that the Ten Commandments, and this is the place I'll be going to today, that the Ten Commandments are still binding upon God's people. That, you know, I started off in a conversation that I had with Dr. Albert Moeller that will be playing after the first break. And I mentioned to him that we have a saying in our society today when we talk about something being flexible or mutable, would be a good theological term for it, that it can change over time. When we talk about something being that way, we use this phrase. We say, hey, it's not written in stone. Well, the Ten Commandments were written in stone, and they were written in stone with the very finger of God, delivered to the people of God directly, not through a prophet, but directly from the Almighty. And I think all of that speaks to the permanence of the Ten Commandments. I think it speaks to the duration of them, that the eternality of what is there. This is a self-disclosure of God that he gave us. It's not just a list of 10 arbitrary rules, but this is a self-disclosure of God himself. And so when we think about it that way, I think we could come to the conclusion very quickly that this is not something that can be altered. It's not something that can be done away with. It's not something that loses its relevance now in our day and age, even with the New Testament, even with being under the New Covenant, as the Lord Jesus Christ spoke about, that doesn't remove the impact and the influence of the Old Testament, or specifically the Ten Commandments. Now, during the program here today, I wanted to talk about this subject around an interview that I did with Dr. Albert Moeller. Now, Dr. Moeller was on the phone with me live yesterday morning, and we taped the interview that I did with him. It's very short. It's only going to be about 11 to 14 minutes, somewhere in there. And I'm going to play that, but I'm going to play it after the first break. I wanted to set it up here a little bit about just talking first and foremost about the subject of the Ten Commandments. But the book that we're going to be discussing is Dr. Moeller's latest book called Words from the Fire, hearing the voice of God in the Ten Commandments. Some of the promotional material for this book, a couple of different sources, one off of the website. The book is put out by Moody Publishing, and so off of their website, I've got one little blurb from there. And then also off of the book itself, there's a lot of good information just off of the cover of the book. Let me read a couple of those to you. This one here says this. It says, if God has spoken, then the highest human aspiration must be to hear what the Creator has said. God has indeed spoken through the Ten Commandments. And Al Mohler explores this revelation of God and the implications for his people. The promise is to hear, to obey, and to live. These 10 words, which they were called in the Hebrew language, they were referred to as these 10 words. But these 10 words tell us who God is and what his people should look like. Notice the connection there with what I was just talking about, who God is. The Ten Commandments are not separated from God himself. They are tied to the very self-disclosure of God that he gives to us in his word. And therefore, they have ramifications or implications in the life of his people, what this should look like in their life, this blurb goes on to say. Each chapter takes the reader from the word to personal story and personal application. You know, by the way, there's a survey that was done out on sermonaudio.com. And the survey was posted this way. Are the Ten Commandments still binding upon the Christian? And about a little over 1,000 people responded to that survey. It's been out there for some time, but they responded to this survey. And 820 of them, or 79%, said yes, all of them are binding upon the Christian. And there were some other answers in here as well. You could have answered yes, most of them are binding. No, none of them are binding. No, they are just general guidelines. No, they are only binding as the Spirit leads. There's a good postmodern, maybe hyper-charismatic view of the Ten Commandments. You know, they're only binding if the Spirit leads you to obey them. And then the last one was, you know, go ahead and skip this survey. I don't care to vote about it. But 79% of the people, at least the listeners to Sermon Audio, at least the those that are out on Sermon Audio's website, 79% of them said it is still binding upon the Christians today. Here's one from a comment from Australia about this survey. He says, the Reformers taught well and biblically that the Ten Commandments are binding on all Christians still, as this is the standard for sin, that we understand sin by our minds. God gave us a mind to understand his word, and the Holy Spirit illumines the mind to understand God's word by revelation. This wishy-washy current teaching that we are led by the Spirit with no need of God's word is heresy, formerly known as antinomianism, which is lawlessness against God's law. And he goes on to comment on it from that standpoint. Here's one from John, somewhere here in the U.S., and he says this, no, only 9 of the Ten Commandments are binding on Christians. So he goes in there and takes out the old X-Acto knife, and now we've got only 9 commandments, because he says the Sabbath commandment is not binding on Christians since the Sabbath is Saturday. Well, he introduces 2 different items there. One is whether or not the day that we keep the Sabbath, what day that is on, that's one subject, and then whether or not the actual day is still binding on Christians and how that should be practiced is another subject altogether. Here's one from Martin in Texas. He says this, clearly, the moral substance of all the Ten Commandments is binding in the sense that we cannot ignore any principles of righteousness that appear in the commandments of the law. But if they are, quote-unquote, binding, one means literally binding, then there are only 9 that are binding. In that sense, since the fourth commandment is of a mixed character. So Martin as well says these are binding and, you know, almost as if they are divine suggestions to us, you know, that if we can get anything good out of them, then they're binding in that sense. But they're not really binding in that we should actually listen to what is being said there and count it that God is speaking to us through those commandments. Well, what is it? What is right? What is true? Are the Ten Commandments still binding? How should we view the Ten Commandments? How should we look at these? Should we say, that's just under the law? They really don't have any value in the Christian life today. Or should we look at them in a different light? Should we look and say, no, there's something here. This is God's Word, and there's something here for us even in the New Testament. We'll talk about it when we come back.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Here's Dr. Albert Moeller for Knowing the Truth and Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Folks are living in a time when truth is being marginalized, subverted, and just being confused. God is just not an important part of their intellectual framework, and they think they can get along just fine without Him. Of course, we know that isn't true. I'm thankful for the ministry of Kevin Bowling and Knowing the Truth. I want to encourage you and all your friends to listen regularly to Knowing the Truth.
Tuesdays and Thursdays at 1 o'clock on Christian Talk 660 and online at knowingthetruth.org.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Speedy B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Speedy B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza. They'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Speedy B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Speedy B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
This is Women Today with Vonette Bright.
Today I'd simply like to pray for you. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, please bless the one listening today. Remind her throughout the day that you love her. You created her in your image to be your much-loved child. God, you are the perfect Father, far better than any earthly father. You knitted my friend together in her mother's womb. You created a plan for her life, not an easy path, but a potentially joy-filled one. When troubles come, you are with her. Moment by moment, you protect her from the evil one. You continue to hold her even when she doesn't feel your presence. You watch over her every action because you love her unconditionally. Please give my friend eyes to see who you are, whatever her circumstances. Bless her in Jesus' name. Amen.
You've been listening to Vonette Bright.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Okay, welcome back into the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We're talking about the subject of the Ten Commandments and really the place and the purpose of God's moral law in the life of the Christian today. Let me make a couple comments before we go to the interview that we have with Dr. Albert Moeller. We're going to play about a 10-minute interview here in just a second. But we're looking at the idea of, are the Ten Commandments still binding in the life of the Christian today? Dr. Moeller will be talking about the Ten Commandments in a little bit more general way. But let me say this, that the Ten Commandments serve, first and foremost, to show us that men are accountable to God. This is the first thing that we see when we look at this. We look and we see that we are not accountable ultimately to ourselves. We're not accountable ultimately to our spouse or to our pastor or to anybody else in this life. Ultimately, we will stand before the Almighty God of heaven and earth, and we will be judged on the basis of His inflexible law. And so the Ten Commandments speak that to us loudly when we open up our Bibles and look at them. The second thing is this, is that the law shows us what is the only standard that God will accept. There is only one standard that God will accept, and the Ten Commandments shows us what that standard is. And so when we look at what is said there in the Ten Commandments and we realize that we have broken them, and I would even make the case that we have broken every single one of them, all ten of them, when we look at them in their broader application, we see that the law establishes man as guilty before God. It slays all of our own self-righteousness. We have no leg to stand on whatsoever before the Almighty. It shows us that we are all guilty before Him. And then the final thing that the law does is the law drives us to the Lord Jesus Christ. When we see that this is God's inflexible law, when we see that we have broken this law grievously and we are now guilty before God, we then are forced upon to flee to the Lord Jesus Christ, because He is the only one who has kept the law of God absolutely perfectly. And so now we find our life and enjoyment in Him. Let's go to the phone line very quickly, and then when we come back from the phone line, we'll go ahead and play that interview with Dr. Moeller. Doug, you're up first on Knowing the Truth.
Great, thanks. Yeah, just a couple of comments. I was thinking about exactly what you were just talking about, and it seems to me that all of the people that say that they believe in the Ten Commandments and that they follow them, when they throw out the fourth commandment, it's like me telling the speeding cop, you know, the traffic cop, that I'm not going to take his ticket because he can enforce all the other laws, but not that one.
Mm-hmm.
And I actually had a lot of different points, but when I got on, I got nervous.
You know, Doug, a couple of points about that fourth commandment that I do think that there is some thoughts that have to be built into actually how we interpret that. And, of course, we're talking about remembering the Sabbath day to keep it holy. I think that there is a change of day that we can see in the Scripture, and that's obvious. And we can make the case.
Before you say that's obvious, I don't see that. And just because – I don't mean to interrupt too much.
That's
but,
okay.
Jesus himself, you know, I've heard people say that when Jesus died on the cross, the Sabbath was done away with.
Mm.
But if that's the case, then why would he have rested all on the seventh day, the Sabbath, which yeah. I call the Sabbath, and then rose again on Sunday to begin his work mm-hmm. of salvation? And so
yeah.
it seems to me that, first off, I can't find a spot in the Bible that actually says the day has changed.
Mm-hmm.
And then second, if I'm going to follow Jesus' example, even after he died, I still have to rest on the Sabbath.
Yeah, well, the point being for the change of day is the practice of the New Testament church that we see them practicing. So that's one point about the switching of the day. But my point where I was going for and was making concerning it is the one thing that the actual day that it's celebrated is not the problem that I have with people when they dismiss the fourth commandment. And I'm not even talking about establishing a group of rules and regulations as for what people should do on the Sabbath. But I think that when we look at the Sabbath day, the first and foremost, we remember it is part of the Ten Commandments. And I think just stating that, oh, there's only nine commandments now, right away says to us, this is problematic. It doesn't even sound right when it first comes off of our lips. Additionally, in the statement of the fourth commandment, it's tied back to God himself at the point of creation. It says that, you know, it notices that the Lord rested from his work of creation. 6 days thou shalt work, and on the seventh day he rested. And so we see that it was tied to the Lord. And then it's also tied to creation. So it's tied to these immutable things that are there, the original creation of the earth and all of God's creation. And then it's tied to God himself. So I think we're a bit too quick to just pull out our X-Acto knife or something and cut that command out and say, oh, well, it doesn't fit with our society today.
Well, then if you go back also to the end of Revelation, where it talks about whoever takes away from the words of this book,
yeah.
you know, they're going to have the plagues of of the Bible added to them. So, you know, that's another thing to be careful about.
It is. You're certainly right. And I'm not definitely charging Christians with doing that. But I would just say that many Christians, because of the teaching they received, are very confused. I think there's some basic guidelines with this fourth commandment. The day that we worship the Lord should look different than the other days of the week. It says that we're to work 6 days. And by the way, I use that that verse about working 6 days and then resting a lot of times in the opposite way that most people use it, to show that we should be working for 6 days. You know, it speaks against laziness. So we've got that. So we've got to be working. We see that. But then there is a day set aside that should be different than all the other days of the week. And whether people celebrate that on Saturday or on Sunday, I think a case can be made for Sunday being the first day of the week. But when we do that, it should be different. It should be set aside for worship. We should be speaking about the things of God and meditating on the things of God, not continuing the regular 6 days of work that we've been doing up until that point. Other than that, you know, I don't make lists for people whether they can watch television or whether they can go to a restaurant or not. But I ask them to seriously look at what they're doing and ask themselves, do they feel that what they're doing is honoring to the Lord and that they are resting? Now, a lot of people will point to the fact, well, Christ fulfilled that and the picture that was there in the Sabbath, and we are now resting in Christ. I agree. And I agree that Christ is the ultimate fulfillment of the Sabbath. I just don't think that you have to have one or the other, that you have to see Christ as the fulfillment of the Sabbath, and that automatically excludes then any sort of honoring the Lord on the Sabbath day. I don't think they're juxtaposed to each other. I think we should consider the broader context and the fulfillment of Christ to all the promises that are in the Old Testament and all the types and shadows, but it doesn't alleviate our responsibility to treat that day differently. Does that square somewhat with what you're thinking as well, Doug?
Yes, for the most part, yes.
Okay, well, great. Are you calling from the Greenville area?
I am.
Okay, well, great. I enjoyed the conversation with you, and I thank you very much for calling in.
Thanks.
Okay, man. All right. Well, that was the fourth one that we were talking about there. I had chewed up much of our time there, so we'll play the interview when we come back from the next break. But let me just finish what I was saying here, too, about I mentioned 3 points as to why the Ten Commandments are still valid and still binding upon the Christians today. They show us that we are accountable to God. They show us also that what the Lord's standard is, the only standard that he will accept. And by the way, that standard is not that if my good outweighs my bad, then the Lord will go ahead and allow me into his heaven. That's not the standard that the Scripture talks about and that the Ten Commandments reveal to us. The standard is absolute perfection in thought, word, and deed to every single one of the Ten Commandments. Now, when it's stated that way, which is true, in which we find in the Word of God, when it is stated that way, immediately you see that we all fall short of the objective standard that God has set in order for us to have acceptance with Him. But that's the purpose here. It's to bring us to the end of ourselves. It's to show us. Remember, the Apostle Paul said that apart from the law, I didn't know sin. Well, now the law of God, which I, you know, would believe was given to us at Sinai, of course, the Ten Commandments that we're talking about, I think it also can be shown that the law of God was implanted upon man's heart right at the time of creation as well. And so the law of God is not only the printed form that's here, but the law written upon the heart of man, which is equal to the Ten Commandments as well. That is condemning man and showing him that in thought, word, and deed, he has fallen miserably short from the standard that God has set for acceptance with God. Now, that's bad news. The good news is that the Lord Jesus Christ has come, and he not only died on the cross in order to pay the price for our sins, but he has also come to earn for us a righteousness that we were completely unable to earn for ourselves. See, he keeps the law of God perfectly. Why did he have to live 33 years? Why couldn't Christ have just come one day, you know, just appeared upon the face of the earth, died on the cross, paid the price for our sin, and then went to glory? He had to be born under the law and to live under the law so that he could keep the law of God perfectly. And he did. Three times throughout his ministry, we hear from heaven, the Lord says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him." So here is Christ. He is proven to be sinless, spotless Lamb of God, who has earned for us a righteousness that we were completely unable to earn for ourselves. That righteousness, then, is imputed to us by faith, and our sins are paid for by Christ upon the cross of Calvary, and that is the two aspects of salvation that we emphasize. We're going to talk about it more when we come back from the break. We'll be playing the Dr. Moeller interview. Stay tuned.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
Many people find themselves caught, trapped in troubled relationships at home, on the job, and even at church. Many experience broken relationships and want to experience restoration, but long ago lost hope. Find help and hope here on Christian Talk 660. Every Monday afternoon at 12:30, the Peace Talk line is open for you. Join us. Get help. Find hope. Discover peace.
It's great pizza for a great price. So pack up the family and head over to Stevie B's near Walmart on Woodruff Road in Greenville. At Stevie B's, you'll find friendly faces and at least a dozen pizzas out at all times. Or you can order a pizza and they'll make it fresh just for you at no extra cost. So visit Stevie B's today.
Hi, this is Pastor Kevin Bowling, and I want to take the time to thank John, Ruth, Carlos, and the good folks over there at Stevie B's Pizza for their support of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast.
No matter what you do for a living, your work, and in fact your whole life, will be more rewarding if what you do is built on the gospel of Jesus Christ. William is a successful executive who is brought to Christ in part through the preaching and teaching of Billy Graham. Since he dedicated his life to the Lord, he has made sure to live out his faith in the workplace. He says that in the marketplace, you are confronted with a hostile world, not always in tune with your faith. But God is interested in what you do on Monday as well as what you do on Sunday. So what is the priority of your life? Are you certain about your priorities in your work and everything else you do? You can be by trusting in God by faith in Jesus Christ. Call us at the Billy Graham Evangelistic Association toll-free at 866-JESUS-CARES. Or click billygraham.org.
Welcome back to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Information regarding the resources referenced on today's program can be found at www.knowingthetruth.org. Now, here to continue with today's program is Pastor Kevin Bowling.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast. We've been talking about the place and the purpose of God's moral law, the Ten Commandments, in the life of the Christian. Is it still binding? Is it still important and relevant? Is it something that we should be talking about and using in our witnessing and in our Bible teaching? And I think that just to state it is, to answer that question, I think the answer is obviously yes. Let me play a short clip here that we've been, I talked to Dr. Albert Moeller yesterday morning. We taped our conversation talking to him about his book, Words from the Fire, about the Ten Commandments. It's only about 10 minutes long. We'll listen to it, and then I'll come back afterwards and we can comment about it. Here we go. With me on the line right now is Dr. Albert Moeller. Dr. Moeller, thank you for taking the time out to be with us on the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast today.
Pastor, it's great to be with you. Thank you.
Dr. Moeller, I wanted to obviously talk with you today about your latest book, Words from the Fire, Hearing the Voice of God and the Ten Commandments. There's a statement that we use today in our culture that comes to my mind when I think of the Ten Commandments, and that statement is, you hear people say very often when they're speaking about something being flexible or mutable, they say, you know what, it's not written in stone. That'll be a common phrase that we hear people say today. However, when we think about the Ten Commandments, these were written in stone. These were written by the very finger of God given to us directly from the Almighty. It speaks to the immutability and the consistency and the durability of the Ten Commandments, don't you think?
Well, absolutely. We're talking here about the doctrine of revelation. That's the title of my book, Words from the Fire.
Mm-hmm.
This is where the Lord spoke to his covenant people. He drew Moses up to a mountain that was shaking with thunder and flashing with light and burning with fire and smoke, and down came Moses bearing the Shekinah glory of God on his face, and what the Hebrew scripture refers to as these 10 words carried in his arms on tablets of stone. It's the sheer objectivity, the givenness of the revelation that to modern and postmodern people comes as quite a shock.
Just the very beginning of the Ten Commandments that we read in Exodus chapter 20, right away in the opening verse it says, "And God spake all these words." The significance, talk about the significance of the fact that God did not mediate these. You know, most of what he said throughout the Old Testament was mediated through the prophets. But this seems to be of such a level of importance that God himself spoke these words to man.
You know, he's really putting his own name on it. And that's the amazing thing. He says, these are my words. I am sending them to you. And these 10 words are to you the difference between life and death. You know, in Deuteronomy chapter 30, he says, see, I set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life and live. And he means specifically the law that he had given. And we find life in obeying it. And we find disaster in disobeying his law.
That opening commandment in Exodus chapter 20, again, in the opening three verses, it says this, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which has brought thee out of the land of Egypt and out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me." Obviously, we won't be able to go through all of the commandments in the time we have allotted today. But just this opening one where God says that that we are to worship God exclusively. You mentioned in your book, you say that worship betrays our theology. Expound that a little bit for us today, if you would.
Well, the atheist philosopher Roger Scruton has it exactly right. He says, if you want to know what people believe, watch them worship. The way we worship betrays our real theology. We find out what we believe when we find out, what we do in worship, what we say, how we pray. You know, I think the most revealing theological act is really when we pray. When we hear people speak to God, we will hear their understanding of him. Do they speak with respect and awe and dignity? Do they think of him as an awesome, omnipotent, omnipresent God? Do they speak to him as the sovereign one who can and does rule over all the affairs of humanity and the cosmos? We'll really find out what they believe.
When we look at what the Lord has spoken there in these opening three verses, it really is a recognition of God as he has revealed himself to us, right? And then also that this is his claim upon us, that we are his creation. He has the right to order us, to demand of us, if I could use a word closely connected with the idea of commandment. He has this right. In fact, in that second verse, it says, I am the Lord thy God. So it speaks of his right and privilege as the Almighty, as our Creator, to demand of us how we should respond to him.
Well, absolutely. You know, the Lord doesn't suggest that his people should ever be involved in just coming up with a way to worship him, devising a way to worship him. In fact, in the scripture, both the Old and the New Testament, that's associated with idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, God says, I am the Lord thy God. You shall have no other gods before me. And what follows of the Ten Commandments is itself a reflection of his character, of his power, of his glory. And in worship, this is a God who says, I'll tell you who I am, and if you really know who I am, you'll understand how to worship.
Hmm. You say in the book, you make the point that the commandments are still binding upon us. In fact, I connected the blog, or I put a link in the blog about the program today, to a survey that was done out on sermonaudio.com, and so far I think there was close to 1,000 votes out there. And the question was simply this: are the Ten Commandments still binding on Christians? And I'm happy to report that 79% of the people that voted, 820 votes so far, said yes, all of them are binding. Do you find in our culture today, or let's take it outside the culture and put it right in the church, do you find many Christians today that have relegated the Ten Commandments to a bygone age, that they're just antiquated and have no sort of impact in our daily life today?
Well, you know, I don't know that there are that many people who would say that. To be honest, I think most people, out of at least some kind of cultural understanding, will at least tip the hat with some kind of reference of respect to the Ten Commandments. Mm. But by the way we live our lives, we're surrounded by modern and postmodern people who show their disrespect for the law of God, even for the existence of God, every single day. You know, and we're living in a day in which most people think the rules are made to be broken, or if not broken, at least compromised. And the sheer givenness of the Ten Commandments, their immutability, their unbendability, that really puts us in a position in which modern people look and say, well, that's just not the way I live my life.
Mm-hmm. This opening commandment, of course, where we see the Lord commanding us to serve Him, we see in our modern day that that's something, autonomy, people want their own autonomy, and they don't want anybody telling them what to do, even the Almighty Himself. So that's something that we certainly see today. If we go all the way to the end of the commandments, the last commandment, of course, with the thought there being that about covetousness and about the lack of contentment that is seen in people, both of those things, and obviously all the ones in between as well, really have a relevance to what we see in our society today, wouldn't you say?
Well, absolutely. And as a matter of fact, in the structure of the Ten Commandments, with the two tables of the law, the first and the tenth commandment really do come back full circle.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we come to understand from a biblical theology is that covetousness starts as a form of idolatry.
Yes.
And thus, you really do have a full circle here. And yet, covetousness is another reminder to us that we really don't know what the Ten Commandments reveals to us without the Ten Commandments. Because I hear people quite often who'll say, well, you know, there's basically a set of moral rules that everybody knows. And as you know from Romans chapter 1, the Lord did indeed implant in creation an entire moral code, an entire theological revelation that reveals His character.
Mm-hmm.
But due to our human sinfulness, we don't see it, and we won't see it. And so what happens is that people try to invent a morality of their own. One of the interesting things about the morality of the Ten Commandments, for instance, the commandment about covetousness, is that, as the Apostle Paul says in Romans chapter 7, I wouldn't have known I was a coveter until I was told by the law, thou shalt not covet.
Mm.
We need the law even to understand ourselves. We don't understand what we're doing. We don't understand who we are apart from the law of God.
I can tell from the study that you did here in your book, Words from the Fire, and also in my own study, that I noticed that the commands are much broader and deeper than a casual reading of them reveals to us. Would you speak to that as the final question today, just encouraging people to look deeper into these commands for the real heart issues that the Lord was trying to get across to His people?
Well, you know, Pastor, the Lord Himself does this, the Lord Jesus Christ, in the Sermon on the Mount, when He says, the law says you shall not commit adultery. I tell you that even if you lust in your heart, you've committed adultery. And the law says thou shalt not murder, but I tell you, even if you had anger in your heart against a brother, you have committed murder. You know, in the same sense, I think of the commandment to honor father and mother. I think this is probably the most misunderstood of all the commandments, because the average person, even the average church-going Christian, thinks that that just means children obey your parents. It is really a commandment, first of all, addressed to adults, that we are to honor our mothers and our fathers. We are to honor our heritage by the way we live our lives, by our keeping of the gospel, by our love for Christ, by our care for those who came before us and our respect for the heritage they have given us. Honor your father and mother turns out to be a much more comprehensive commandment than what is there, of course. Children, obey your parents. That's where it begins, mm-hmm. but that's hardly where it ends.
Yeah, that's a great point, and I think that I hope that whets people's appetite to see that what you go over in this book is just like you were doing there with the commandment about honoring our father and our mother, getting to the much more depth behind the words that are there, comparing Scripture with Scripture, and finding, you know, in the Word of God exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ was getting across when he expounded them, but also what God Almighty was doing in the Old Testament when he gave the commands himself. Dr. Moeller, thank you very much for taking time out of your busy schedule. We just had a short window to be able to talk with you today, but we want to thank you for writing this book. I think it's much needed in our day and age. And then also thank you for taking the time out to visit with us on the Knowing the Truth radio program today.
Well, Pastor Bowling, thank you for your important voice and for this radio program and for the opportunity to talk with you. God bless you.
Well, there you have it. We're listening to an interview with Dr. Albert Moeller. I spoke to Dr. Moeller yesterday morning, and so I just played that short clip. That's a short interview that I did with him. We're going to be back in just a minute. When we come back from the break, we'll discuss what Dr. Moeller talked about and go back to our discussion about the Ten Commandments.
You're listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. For more information about today's program, the radio ministry, and the resources we offer, go to www.knowingthetruth.org.
There's only one truth. It's not what I think it is. It's not what you think it is. It's not what Stu thinks it is. It's what God says it is in the Bible.
Truth for the now generation. Guests who push your hot button.
Sunday morning is the most segregated time in America. And we just need to start losing the labels of white church, black church. I mean, it is the church.
Hey, Upstate, Stu Everson from Truth Talk Live inviting you to join me weekdays at 5 right here on Christian Talk 660.
I loved chemistry in high school. It was fascinating how one chemical element could change into an entirely different element through alchemy, that is, a chemical reaction. I thought about this when I read Philippians. The Apostle Paul was a prisoner in Rome, and he talks about his hardships, but he does so with such a cheerful tone of voice. Paul explains his joy when he says in verse 19 that his sufferings have, quote, turned to his salvation. That accounted for his glad heart. And that is what I call spiritual alchemy. It's the fascinating mystery of how Paul was able to turn sadness into joy, trials into triumphs, and suffering into something entirely different. In God's chemistry, the Christian can see suffering as that which proves and refines and matures and confirms his salvation. So rejoice in suffering. If you do, you'll get an A+ in God's classroom of spiritual chemistry.
There are those who dedicate themselves to a sense of honor, to a life of courage, and a commitment to something greater than themselves. They have always defended this nation and each other. They still do. The few, the proud, the Marines.
Section 22. Thankfulness and contentment. As Christians, we are commanded to be thankful and content in all circumstances. We shouldn't make it our goal to be rich and store up for ourselves treasures on earth, but rather we should store up treasures in heaven. The world as we know it will pass away, but the kingdom of God will last forever. Remember, we bring nothing into this world, and we will take nothing out of it. So let's learn to be content with whatever God has given us and be thankful for it as we live our lives to please and glorify Him. We begin this section with Psalms 107:1. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. His love endures forever. Proverbs 23:4-5. Do not wear yourself out to get rich. Have the wisdom to show restraint. Cast but a glance at riches, and they are gone. where they will surely sprout wings.
Well, welcome back into the last segment of the Knowing the Truth radio program. I wanted to play a little bit of that CD that you just heard playing about the idea of thankfulness and contentment. You noticed at the beginning of it, it said that it was section number 22. This is off of a brand new advertiser with the Knowing the Truth radio broadcast, one of our sponsors. And it's called Divine Direction, over 300 verses arranged by subject. And this particular CD was developed to help people find biblical solutions and encouragement to everyday issues. I wanted to play one of them there for you, or a portion of one of those. That was the one dealing with thankfulness and commitment. But there are a number of other topics that are covered in this DVD, such as anger and arguing, children, depression, divorce, forgiving others, hope, obedience, overcoming sin, pride and humility, temptation, and so on. 25 different subjects are covered on this CD. By the way, the link to the website that you can purchase this CD from is located right on the front page of my website, which is knowingthetruth.org. It's called Divine Direction, over 300 verses arranged by subject. And I just wanted to tell you that this would be an excellent gift if you're thinking, you know, already we're thinking about Christmas is coming up. Why not give one of your loved ones something that will reinforce the Word of God in their life? They can go to a specific section. So if they're dealing with something like depression or fear, they can go to that section, play the CD, and the CD will read scripture verse. There's an introduction first about the subject, and then there is read scripture verses dealing with that particular subject, what the scripture has to say about it. So it's a great resource. It's put out by Power Ministries, and that's www.power-ministries.com. You'll be hearing more about it on future broadcasts here on Knowing the Truth. Okay, just before the break, we were talking, or actually played a section of a interview that I did with Dr. Albert Mohler, talking with him about his book, Words from the Fire. I've got a couple copies of this book, by the way. I should have mentioned that early on. But if you're interested in getting a copy of this book, you've got a couple minutes left to call in on the radio program. You can also send me a tweet on Twitter. I've got Twitter up and running. The account is Knowing the Truth. And I also have my email account up and running as well, and that's kevin@knowingthetruth.org. Let me give you a sneak peek of Thursday's broadcast. William Farley will be with me. We're going to be talking about gospel-powered parenting. I love this this book because it includes the gospel in the way that we speak to, instruct, and discipline our children. It's very important. Tim Challies did a review of the book. He said this: the purpose of the book, as you might gather from the title, is the focus of the gospel is the most important power in parenting. It is not the parents' their own self-effort or their prayers or hopes or dreams that ultimately ought to shape parenting. Instead, it is the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is the power that needs to be at the center of all that we are and all that we do as parents. And so I agree with Tim Challies there in his assessment. This is exactly what we need. And unfortunately, today not only does the church show a lot of impotence is what I'm talking about, but, you know, lack of power. But I think that in parenting as well, there is a lack of power and authority. There's a lack of doing this in a way that is pleasing to God, and this book will certainly help us to do that. So I would just encourage you, on Thursday's broadcast, William Farley will be with me, and we'll be talking about his book, Gospel-Powered Parenting. You don't want to miss it. Back to our subject about the Ten Commandments. You know, just before the break, I was making the point about what the Ten Commandments were given to us for. It says in Galatians chapter 3 and in verse 19, it speaks about that the law of God is good if we use it in the way that it was intended. And I think as we see what the Scripture has to say about itself, and specifically about the law of God, we can see that what God has intended the law of God to do. Now, I've talked about the three areas, you know, specifically that the law serves to show men that they're accountable to God and to show us what is the only standard that is acceptable with God. And we also talked about that it drives us to the Lord Jesus Christ. But there's one other area that I think is vitally important that we need to talk about, and that is that the law serves to direct believers about our holy living. This is what some people refer to as the third use of the law. But it tells us clearly, how are we to live this life? How are we to live the life that the Spirit has begun in our hearts and in our life? The way that we're to do that is we're to do it by a portion of that anyways, is by understanding what God finds acceptable, what the standard is, and that is given to us by the law. Let's go on to the phone very quickly. We've got Don from Pittsburgh up. Don, welcome into the program today.
Thank you, Kevin. I don't know that there are some people who would disagree with this, but I find it very perceptive. Arthur W. Pink makes the point that when Adam and Eve sinned in the Garden of Eden, virtually every commandment of the Decalogue was broken.
Yes. That's Merrill of Modern Divinity, Edward Fisher, makes that point, and I agree with him.
I do, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you look, you know, I mean, they worshipped another god. The apple was, or the fruit was their idol.
Yes.
You know, they profaned God. They took away our rest right down the line.
Exactly.
And I think that's, you know, because some people are of the opinion that the Ten Commandments were only first introduced at Sinai.
Mm-hmm.
And I disagree with that.
Right. I was making the point earlier, we were down a little bit on the internet connection, but I was making the point earlier that, you know, the law of God is written upon man's heart. And
yes.
I think you may have heard Dr. Moeller refer to that as well.
Yeah.
And so I think that that's an important aspect that we need to keep in mind.
It troubles me, though, also, I find that the commandment that I think that I'm probably most inconsistent in keeping is the fourth.
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit. I don't know if you heard that as well.
No, I did not.
Okay.
But I think that... you know, I love and respect Dr. Moeller very much. I think he and I would have a little bit of a disagreement on how that is applied today.
That's right. In this book, he spells out his view of how it is applied, but he doesn't take the view that it is just for the folks in the Old Testament, just for ancient Israel.
Right.
But
he
still believes it has value. He just in his interpretation of that and his the way he spells it out in the book would probably not be as strong as those that hold to, like, the Westminster Confession or confession like that would be, yeah.
Yes. Okay, very good, sir. Thank you.
Oh, thank you very much, Don, for those comments. Really appreciate that. And we did talk about it a little bit earlier, and as we were talking about some of the use here of the law, first of all, you know, the Scripture says in Galatians chapter 3:24 that the law was our schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. So there's where I was saying that the law, you know, forces us to the Lord Jesus Christ. It's driving us when we see ourselves in light of what God has done in his law. We're driven to the Lord Jesus Christ. It reminds me of that great hymn that was written, you know, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly trust in Jesus' name. On Christ the solid rock I stand, and all other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. Listen, we can't approach God based upon our own works righteousness. There is nothing that you can do in this life in order to earn a relationship with God. It is the work of Christ. He has done the work on our behalf, and it is believing that by faith that we enter into a relationship with the Almighty. Thank God for Jesus Christ and for his work on our behalf. He has done the work completely so that we are completely accepted now in the Beloved. We have this wonderful relationship with our God because of the person and the work of His Son. And we'll be back again on Thursday, as I mentioned. We'll be talking about gospel-powered parenting on Thursday. You don't want to miss that Thursday at 1 o'clock right here on Knowing the Truth. Remember, the Lord Jesus Christ said, "Thou shalt know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." That's what we need to do. Understand and know the truth. We'll see you Thursday.
You've been listening to Knowing the Truth with Pastor Kevin Bowling. Knowing the Truth is the outreach ministry of the Mountain Bridge Bible Fellowship, located on Highway 25 in Traveler's Rest. For more information about the church and radio ministry, visit us on the web at knowingthetruth.org.
The opinions expressed on today's program are those of the announcers, their guests, and callers, and do not necessarily represent those of the staff and management of His Radio Network, the Radio Training Network, or Clear Channel Communications.
Life-changing teaching and talk for the Carolinas and Georgia. Christian Talk 660. WLFJ, Greenville, Spartanburg, Anderson.